in what we go through. I'm going to be talking about faith and patience tonight. And we talked about walking in the blessing. And over the years, I mean, I've heard people just out of ignorance and different things, you know, that they'll say, well, the blessing's a house, the blessing's a car, the blessing is having a roof over my head. But if you look at the biblical terms for the blessing, you study the blessing is an empowerment that comes on in us, on believers, to be successful in every area of our life. The blessing is not things. The blessing is the grace of God that comes into our lives that gives us supernatural abilities. What that means is, you know, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, you're not just natural anymore. You may feel natural, seem natural, look natural, but according to the Bible, and I'm going to believe what the Bible says, but according to the Bible, we are supernatural beings. He put His Spirit in us, which is supernatural, in our natural body, and that makes us supernatural. And then we learn from God, and through the Word and the Holy Spirit, you know, the ways of God, the thoughts that God has towards us through the Word of God, and then we integrate that into our life. And then we walk about this life, we are walking with God, victorious. Just like Adam and them in the Garden of Eden, they walked and talked with God. I walk with Him every day, I talk to Him. If you're born again, Christianity is not a Sunday thing and a Wednesday thing. Christianity, being born of the Spirit of God, is a lifestyle. I mean, I did walk away from the Lord one time, but, you know, you can't taste of God and then ever be satisfied out in the world. You know, I mean, when I walked away, God never leaves us. We have to leave Him. You know, God is with us all the way. I was thinking about Joshua today. In Joshua 1 over there, he told him, he said, be strong and courageous. He said, meditate on the law that Moses gave day and night. He said, then you'll make your way prosperous. You know, and so the Bible gives us wisdom. The Bible shows us God, actually. How, I mean, you can see God, how was God with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Right. How was He with Daniel? How was He when they got to the Red Sea? We're just generations down the road. We're God's people. We're just generations down the road from them coming out of Egypt. All of us come out of Egypt if we're born again. We come out of the world. He said, come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And He separated us. He made us holy. God's made us holy. He said, holy means set apart. Holy don't mean you've got everything straightened out and fixed and you ain't got to work on nothing and all that and then you're holy. No, that would be working yourself holy. The Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith, and we walk by faith. The Bible says that we have been made the righteousness of God. We've been put in right standing through our submission and lordship to Jesus. Jesus, He is our righteousness. And because of that righteousness that is in our life through Jesus, through believing on Jesus, believing on God, you know, righteousness is just, it begins to work from within you. It begins to work out into your life. Hallelujah. I got born again, and I didn't make myself want to go to church. I got born again, and I mean, I started hungering to go to church. I'm like, I want to go to church. You know, see, that's that working, that's that supernatural working. That's Him working. And then as you read the Bible, you begin to progress on. Now you don't want to steal no more. Now you don't want to, you know, you begin to, it's not that you're changing yourself. It's the God in you. The Bible says it's Him that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now 27 years of my life, you know, I had a lot of tragedies happen before I got born again, things and circumstances. I was a hurt man. You might not could have told it by being around me, because I was arrogant, I was prideful, I was a lot of things, you know, but I was hurt. But when I got born again, I'm talking about that healer came in. I mean, when I surrendered to the Lord that day. See, some people surrender because they're in trouble and all of that stuff, and it's not really a heartfelt thing, so there's not really a conversion. See, conversion means that it's genuine heart towards the Lord. If you're really real, God, help me. Come in. Come in. If you're really real, help me. Just a genuineness. The Bible says, behold, he stands at the door and knocks. If any man will open up, he said, I'll come in. Well, then you begin a journey. He tells the children of Israel, he tells Moses, he said, I want you to go down and I want you to tell them that's lost. I want you to tell them that's in bondage, that's in slavery. He said, I want you to tell them about this land that I've got. And I've set it apart for them. And I'm going to take them to that place for them to come out and follow you. And he goes down, and that's what he does to us. You know, he comes, he moves into our life. We allow him to come into our life, and then he begins to tell us healing belongs to you. He begins to tell us a good marriage belongs to you. See, now we're talking about we're in the hands of the God that rolled back the Red Sea. He ain't changed. He ain't got no older. He ain't got no weaker. He is God. And the same faith that worked back then for them in this mighty God that we serve will work here in 2023. I told the Lord as I was praying for the service and everything, because of the I'm a pretty busy man, you know, and different things. And I tell the Lord a lot, and I told him, I said, God, I thank you that you have put your grace on me. You put your grace on your people that will learn about your grace and learn how to walk and work in your ability, in your power, in your name, in your faith, in your grace, in your anointing. But I told the Lord, I said, God, I want to thank you that you have given me the ability to keep a good marriage, to be in ministry 30 years, to be in full-time business, Lord. And you have anointed me, and you've added your grace. Now, and I'm not just telling you my story, but wherever you at, you're in God's anointing. You're in God. You're on God's agenda. You're in God's purpose. He saved us for his own purpose. And it's not for us to live down here and just be sad Christians. If you're a sad, oppressed Christian tonight, you've got to get on in the power. You've got to get on in the grace. You've got to get on. And you do that by faith. You do that because of your faith. Well, I just don't know. You've got to read that Bible and you've got to say, I am a child of the Most High God. And you've got to do it personally, not just come to church and get stirred up and feel good and then go out and go right back down into that slum again. You've got to learn how to walk by faith. Faith is not, most of the time, not feeling. I was telling some people here last Saturday, you know, and they kind of looking at me with like a cow at a new gate, man. You know, I was telling them, faith's not a feeling. And they all just stopped. And they looked at me and they're like, you know, and I said, let me explain myself. I said, feelings does come with faith sometimes. I said, but faith is a gift. Faith is the force of God that has been put in believers. I said, this faith is a supernatural ability to believe the unbelievable. This is a supernatural force that enables a Christian, if they choose to believe, based on the Bible, to see the Red Seas of your life roll back. To see manna come out of heaven, so to speak, if it needs to. Supply come to you. Well, the children of Israel gets out there, and man, they are praising God. They go across on dry ground. Just imagine the sea rolled back. I don't know how deep it is out there. It could be 100 foot deep. I mean, they walked through a wall of water on dry ground as it rolled back. What a mighty God we serve. My mind, I back under, I thought, it had to be a little muddy. I mean, it had to be some mud on the bottom, because I've walked on the bottom of rivers and it's muddy. I've walked in the bottom of ponds and swim in them and there's mud down there, you know. Anything that's got water on it, there's got to be some mud, you know. And that was my natural young baby Christian thinking. And I thought, but the Bible says that they went across on dry ground. And so I'm looking at that and I'm like, glory to God, glory to God. That's who I've given my life to, this God that delivered them out of Egypt. I was in Egypt. I've always lived in Alabama, but Egypt's in Alabama too. Bondage, slavery. Slavery to oppression, slavery to our past, slavery to things people's done to us, slavery to what people says. I was called, the Lord opened doors for the jail ministry years and years and years ago. I praise God. I learned a lot there. I learned a lot. I was in training. Not only was I able to help guys, my 100s to Jesus Christ in the jails and in the prisons. I mean, I cast out devils in the jails and the prisons. But the Lord, you know, I learned a lot of things while I was going to those jails, but also I was learning how to believe God for the supernatural. Because my mind would tell me, well, they deserve to be in there. They did this and this and this, and they're going to suffer the consequences of their actions, you know. But in here, I'm like, God can deliver them. Satan trapped them. See, you might be trapped by hurts, and you might have been hurt in church. I've been hurt in this church. But don't faith say that we walk by faith? Don't it say, overcome evil with good? Don't it say, don't be weary in well-doing? Keep coming to church. I keep preaching, and I don't preach on the hurt that's what you do. That's what faith does. Faith, but you got to be patient. Faith is not enough alone. You got to have patience working with faith. Patience is riding out here like this, and faith, boy, we just building faith with the Word of God. Woo, glory to God. I'm going to believe God. I believe God wants me to have a house. This happened to me. I believe I'm reading in there in the Scripture, and it says that He'll give you houses that you didn't build. And I was reading that, and all of a sudden, it just inside, I was like, glory to God. God's going to give me a house. I told Teresa, He's going to give us a house. We're going to have a house. Praise God. We're going to have a house. I mean, pray God, I got up and I thought, glory to God. The blessings of God are yes in Him and amen. See, as you walk with the Lord and you serve the Lord, you got to get out of this poor old me mentality. Nobody's going to give me, if nobody gives me a break, I can't have nothing, you know. And you got to get out all of that, because Jesus has already gave you a break. And I mean, He made a way for you to be powerfully filled with His Spirit. And all these promises that is in your Bible belong to you. And so here I go on a journey, Johnny. I'm like, glory to God, don't have a house. We're going to have a house. I went around, but anyway, I forgot to tell you this, because the Lord don't want me to forget this. I'm going to the jail, and God was opening doors up for me to go to the jail. And I'm on the job, and I'm amongst just all Christians. And I said, I hadn't been saved but 6 months. See, you ain't got to know a lot. Just know Him. And know He's wanting you to go. And know what He's wanting you to do. Finding the will of God. Faith is the will of God. You can find in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit will reveal the will of God if you want it. If you seek the Lord, Lord, what's your will? What's your will for my future? What do you want for my future? And as you read that Bible or come to church or listen to Christian radio or whatever you do, listen to sermons, it will unfold to you. God is faithful. God is faithful. Well, I mean, I'm just all excited. Hallelujah. And I told these Christians, I said, whoo, glory to God. I said, God's opening doors. I'm gonna go to the jail. I'm gonna go to the jails and preach the gospel. And one of them had been saved about 30 years, 20, 25, 30, whatever it was. Long time. You know, because I remember wanting a marriage like his when my marriage wasn't no good, but he was a Christian and I wasn't. That's why he had a good one and I didn't. But I didn't put two and two together back there. Anyhow, that brother, he said, well, he said, God would use me before he would use you to do that. I've been saved, blah, 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 you know, whatever. And I looked at him and I said, maybe he would. I don't know, but I know where I'm going. Well, I left, you know, and those words just kept coming to my thoughts. They kept coming to my thoughts and trying to steal my excitement about going to the jails, trying to steal it, you know. And I thought, well, maybe he's right. You know, I mean, I don't know nothing. I'm not perfect. And I begin to tell God all the things that I wasn't, all the things that I still had in my life that guy didn't have. And that's why he would use him before me and all that. And it was a few days after that I was reading in the Bible. I mean, it's a good thing to read your Bible, even if you don't feel good. Your Bible is manna. Your Bible is better than herbs. It's better than vitamins that you take. It feeds your spirit. And your spirit stronger, will feed your natural man. Well, you know, I'm reading the Bible, and I got in there. I don't even remember exactly where it was at, but the scripture says it was talking about if your eye pluck it out, if your hand offend you, cut it off, and all that, you know. And then the next verse after that, I was reading that, it says, this first time I'd ever read it, it says, I would rather you enter in lame than not enter in at all. And when I read that, a revelation hit me. I thought, glory to God. God, you ain't worried about this fault that I got and this fault that I got. See, that Bible showed me the will of God better than anybody could have explained it to me. The Holy Spirit took that scripture and quickened me to my life where I was at, that He was pleased with me because I was on a journey with Him, and He would rather me enter in lame than not at all. He was just telling me, I'm okay with all your imperfections. I'm going to use you. And so with all of those imperfections, so why I'm saying that tonight is don't let the enemy, and you are your worst enemy. Satan really don't have as much power as some Christians think he does over them. See, Satan was just trying to get me to take the bait. And I wouldn't have went to the jails. I had three jail ministries for over 3 years. That I went to every Sunday after church. I went to church. I went to the Coleman City County Jail. I left there and went to the Coleman City Jail. And I went back home, took a shower most of the time, and went back to church Sunday night. Then I went to work Monday all week. And then Thursday, I went and had a jail ministry in Blount County. And I went to it every Thursday night. Then Friday night, in those 3 years, I had a street ministry on Friday night that I got there at 7 o'clock every Friday night in the summertime. Why I'm telling you all of that is don't feel like you can't do what God wants you to do. because I learned that God put His grace on His will and give me faith. And see, that's why I believe, I'm convinced that you need to find out what the will of God is for you in concerning healing, concerning finances, concerning marriage, concerning your future, because whenever the battle begins to rage against the will of God in your life, if you are sure that you're in the will of God, you know this is the will of God, whatever it is, then you've got faith. And then you got to do just like Samantha said, hang in there. She didn't say that, but she might as well have. That's where patience is. That's where you build endurance. You got to build endurance, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes. Romans 10:17 says, you read your Bible, faith will come. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, hearing sermons. While you're fasting and praying, fasting, oh God, has it come to that? No, it's been that way forever. It ain't come to that. That's a privilege that we have, that we can deny this flesh and humble ourselves before the Lord in fasting and praying, and pray as we fast, and the supernatural works. Unbelief is killed. Hallelujah. Hard for you to believe God. Well, now if you've got hurts in your past and your raising and your parents or lack of parents or whatever the case might be, all of these things, the last thing I prayed before I came in the building, I said, and thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took my whole life on you and took it on you that I could have life down here and power. He took all of your hurts. He took all of your pains. Read Isaiah 53. He bore our pains. He took on our sorrows, our hurts, our griefs. He took it all on our fears. He took on unbelief so that we don't have to be in it. He took it all on. He walked by faith. Jesus walked by faith. Jesus didn't walk by feelings. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, Father, let this cup pass from me. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. See, Jesus faced and felt things like we do. He did. When he goes to the cross, he's hanging on the cross, and he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Because all the sin of the world, all of our life was put on Jesus, so that, and that's what Galatians 3:13 is talking about, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law of sin and death. And then Romans says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. See, I'm preaching by faith. I have no clue what you need. I'm preaching by faith right now. He knows what all of us need. And if I'm led by Him, boom, bullet, boom, bullet, boom, bullet, boom, bullet. And I release my faith every time I leave. Sometimes I leave and I don't feel good. I feel like I've battled things, you know, I don't know, you know. Makes you dread the next service. If I come in here and all of you's in a wrong spirit, I have to fight those spirits, right? But all of y'all like tonight, it's good. It's real good tonight. Well, everybody's in here, they're out yonder, they're not fighting and arguing with nobody. They're coming to church. I'm going to church, going to church. The Bible says if we're going to don't entangle ourselves too much with the affairs of this world, that we can war a good warfare. See, I realized that Satan couldn't get me out there with people and things, so he tried to use my son and my wife and my mama and my brothers. Natural. They didn't know it. They wouldn't intentionally, you know. The Lord told me, he said, see, He said, a lot of times, he said, Satan will work from within. See, he tries to work in you. He tries to get in you, although you're born again. I'm not talking about take you over. I'm talking about get the Word of God out of you. I'm talking about get you focused in on all the cares of this world, all your light bills and water bills and how much money you ain't got and how much you need and what you don't have and blah, blah. Get you focused in on all that so that you don't put your faith in the one that is able to get all that for you with no sweat. I went 10 years. I'm living in the thing that I believed God for 10 years. And me and the bank don't own it. Me and Teresa own it. I was messing with her other thing today. I got a burial policy, not a burial policy, insurance policy. I told her, I said, if I kick the bus, I said, if something happens to me, I said, which it ain't. I was standing there, she's doing something at the sink. I said, I want you to pay Travis's house off. She said, that's not going to happen as long as I'm alive. That's not going to happen. I'm telling you right now, that ain't even right. I was messing with her, Johnny. I'm in the middle of a trial. How can you be happy? You choose. You choose to go in. You choose to go in and crack your little jokes. You choose to... You know, you choose. I made up my mind a long time ago. I didn't feel good in the mornings when I got up. And I got up, you know, and the Bible tells me what to say about that. He said, let the weak say they're strong. He says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so for a while, I got up. I almost called you Johnny Jr. Mac. And I go in there, and I look in the mirror, and I'm like, woo, yeah, baby. This is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be, and I feel good. You start feeling good in the morning. Why? You quit going by how you feel, and you look at your fine self in the mirror. Satan told me one time, I said, I'm fine. Woo. I look good. I'm slick, man. I'm a wisdom walking around. I'm a good-looking guy. Oh, Teresa, the luckiest thing. I'm talking to Satan. He said, well, look at your nose. It's crooked. I looked in the mirror and I thought, well, yeah. Dude got a little flaw there. He said, put your glasses. He said, when you put glasses on, he said, one of your ears are higher than the other one. Your glasses are lopsided. This truly happened to me. And I thought, God, man, the battle's on here for me to be happy. I mean, all I'm doing is walking around, going to make up my mind. Here comes the enemy. Oh, look at you. You don't look good. I mean, he tells people all the time. They get divorced and all of that, and they're like, nobody wants you. You don't look good no more. You used to be fine when you was little. And then I've had them ask me, do I still look good? I'm like, what? I'm a guy, man. Don't ask me that. I'm a man. What am I supposed to say? You are sexy. It's not going to happen. You know, I'm mid-age right now, but I know I still look good. I don't need you to tell me. You think you look good or you think you look bad? That's all in the eye of the beholder. You need to get in that mirror. If you don't look good, you won't ever brush your teeth. If you don't look good on the inside, you won't ever brush your hair. You just walk around. And everybody will say, ooh, look, they're matted up. They're matted up. But no matter what Teresa told me, I had open heart surgery, you know, several years ago. And I don't know, for some reason, for 3 or 4 weeks or a month or so, I mean, you know, I walk up straight. Not purposely, it's just the way I walk. And she told me one day, she said, are you all going to ever straighten up? I don't know, what do you mean straighten up? Well, whatever was happening. I said, what you talking about straighten up? She told me, you know, and I'm going up through there and I thought, I don't know if I'm straighten up or not. I don't know, man. I just went through open heart surgery. Couldn't you have told me that in about 6 months? You know, and I thought, bless God, you know what? Maybe she's right here. You can start slumping in life. Things can happen to you. Trials. I mean, your past can come, and I mean, you've not thought about things in years and years. You've done buried it, and he brings it up, and he can make you think, well, maybe I ain't buried. Now you say, hey, liar, you the accuser of the brethren, and you accuse us day and night to God, but you ain't going to come down here and get me to go back to my past. See, you've been freed. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, all you got to have is some endurance now. Bless God, I'm coming to church. I don't care if hell freezes over. My car breaks down, I'll call somebody. I'll call Johnny. Hey, man, swing by. I get my coveralls on. I get on the back of your truck. I don't care. What's happening? I'm building endurance when the trial comes. There ain't nothing going to stop me from going to church. Praise God. I mean, I went through that as a baby Christian. Started to come in, didn't have the gas to drive to Hansville. Took us 45 minutes to get there. Took a quarter of a tank to go there and back. We only had a half a tank. And we went to church. But God, I thought, well, you know, God will take care of us. I mean, he'll take care of us. And I'm thinking to myself, he'll tell somebody in church, give me some something. God will do something. Well, he didn't. We went there, and I was glad at church. Oh, we was just getting happy like y'all was a while ago. We're singing, you know, and all that. We left, and we just blah, 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 blah. We can't shut up. Boy, we are in church. We love everybody there like you feel, you know, and praise God, hallelujah. And, I mean, we just had a good service, and we can't shut our mouths out of church, what God done, and all of that stuff, you know. And then all of a sudden, I look down, and I'm like, oh, my God, we're blow empty. And it shut all that up. Because my mind's like, where's God now? He didn't come through at church. He didn't come through. See, Satan's going to lie to you. He's going to challenge you. Praise God. And then I started thinking, nah, God rolled back the Red Sea. God did this. God did this in the Bible. God did that. Because I didn't have no real experience of God. All I had is the Bible. How many knows that's enough? That's all I had. But I started thinking about all that's what you got to do. The Holy Ghost is going to start doing it to you. The rest of this year is going to be different. It's like some of you have expectation, but some of you, you don't have much expectation. I mean, I saw this brushing my teeth. I saw some in here tonight, or maybe listen, I don't know. We're all over the world. You think this is a small church? You're in the wrong church. You're in a mega church. We are already a mega church. Well, it feels awful homey here. It always will. Because we are brothers and sisters. We're family. And if you belong here, you're family. You're family even if you don't belong here. If you're born again, you're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Hallelujah. And where that spirit is, you can feel it anywhere. Where was I at? Not yet, I forgot. Oh, yeah, it's Brusperty. Some of you's got great expectation, but you lack vision. You know, you got to start dreaming. You got to start dreaming about your life, dreaming about what you want to do, dreaming about things in your future, and tell God, Lord, I'm delighting myself in you, and you said you would give me the desire, give me vision. Because without vision, you won't have no expectation. Really, that will carry you anywhere. So some of you need to dream past where you're at. My job continually tries to ride my mind at times. See, what's yours? What's trying to run your mind? So you don't have a business, so you don't have that problem, thank God. But what's trying to stay on your mind all the time? The Bible says that he will keep the ones in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord because they are trusting in the Lord. See, I don't let my mind, my business run my mind all the time. I shut it off. I stopped this afternoon and I shut my eyes and I said, I'm shutting my mind down right now. Shut down. Hallelujah. Clear up. Focus. Why? because it's trying to get me distracted from the night service. Or when the phone rings while you're praying, don't go run and get it. Might be something important, not no more important than what you're doing. No, sir, there's nothing more important than you spending time with God, keeping your mind stayed on Him. I've come one time, it used to bother me when people didn't come to church regularly, Johnny. And so I'd come down here, and every time I'd preach on being faithful to church, all them unfaithful ones wasn't here. And so one night, Teresa, she said, "I'm getting sick of hearing that." I said, "What?" "About coming to church. I'm faithful. I'm going to church." And I thought, well, you don't understand how I feel. I pour my heart out for these people, man, and they just come when they want to and lay out and just do whatever they want to, man. And, you know, she said, "Well, I don't need to hear it. I'm faithful." So I started trying to control not to preach on that too much, you know. Every service. I believe in going to church 190%. I believe miracles are happening right now in your life. I believe in your spirit things are taking place. Transformations taking place. Impartations taking place. Manifestations of the Spirit are taking place inside of you right now. I would leave church and I didn't know nothing happened to me because I didn't feel goosebumps and all that. But boy, during the week, I would experience something that was preached on or something in church, and I'm like, "Oh, glory to God, this just happened to me. This just preached to me." See, I didn't feel nothing. I mean, me and Teresa get into it on the way to church, you know, and I'd be like, "Black God, I'll go back to the house." That's exactly what Satan wanted. Just turn around and go back home. Just go back home. Black God, what's the use of going to church? You can't shut your mouth up, and I ain't going to shut up. We finally figured out that these things are trying to get our endurance. And we held in our faithful. We held in there. We held our positions, praise God. You know, up there, our positions meant something to us. When the Lord wanted us to come down here, I told God, I said, "I'm not quitting the ministry up here until you send somebody to replace my position. I can't go, Lord, like that." And I go tell Teresa, "I ain't going down there. God ain't told me nothing to go to church down there with you." My wife, Mac. Well, we've been taught find the will of God. If you don't know the will of God, then you don't do it, no matter what anybody says. So she didn't have the will of God in there. And she loved her church, you know. And so I go, "Lord," and I said, "Hey, man, I got a problem here." "Hey, Lord, I got a problem. You know, I mean, I need you to talk to my wife." Now I'm putting my trust in Him. I'm not trying to convince her. Because if I convince her and then things start happening like they have for 20 years, you don't know if you're in the will of God or not, then you're going to bail out. So I give it to the Lord. I cast it over. There's another thing right there. You got to learn to cast your cares over on Jesus. You got to learn to cast them and leave them on Jesus. I mean, if you got a hurt and you say, "Oh, I just give this to you, Lord. I just give this to you," and your phone rings a day or two later, "I'm still hurt." Oh, you did not give that to Jesus. You took it back. You meant it when you said it, but you didn't really give it to Him. Now, this thing is still hurting you. Well, I just don't really know how to cast things over on the Lord. You've got an imagination. God give it to you. You can shut your eyes, and you can imagine hands coming from heaven, Jesus. You can imagine them. You can imagine hands coming out of heaven. The Lord told me that. He said, "Shut your eyes." I said, "Lord, I don't know how to give my wife to you. I don't know how, Lord. I just don't know how." He said, "Shut your eyes." He said, "Imagine my hands coming out of heaven." And I did. I imagined them. I thought, man, I see that. He said, now, he said, put her in them hands. That's what faith is. I put her in, and I still got her 38 years later. Oh, man, we've been on some roller coasters. We've been on some Ferris wheels. We've been on some bullets. I ain't, she has. And I'm talking about in our life, boy. I mean, we've been through some things. We've been through some stuff. We've been through some hard waters to tread in. You know, just trials, hallelujah. But there's one thing that has never failed us, and that is the Lord, when we have really, truly put our faith in Him. And when we made mistakes, we repented, like Samantha was talking about. We just asked the Lord, Lord, help us not to do it. Help us, Lord. Help us to change, God. We thank You for this and thank You for that. And now you're leaning on Him. Ain't that what our song we sang, Lean on Me? When you're not strong, when you need a friend, somebody to lean on. Right? Why we sing that in church if we ain't going to do it out there in a hailstorm? Church ain't doing me no good if I sing it and don't get out there and say, I'm leaning on You because I'm not strong, because I need a friend. And You're the one I'm going to lean on. Change the song, man. Right? I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I need the anointing for my mid-50s, Lord. I thank you, Lord. See, my body might be growing older, but I'm not inside. My spirit don't age. It's renewed every day. So my body's like, come on, man, slow up. I'm like, come on, man, shut up. Shut up and catch up. I dumped too many gravel in today. And you can't get in there with a bucket. I'm looking at a pile of gravel and I thought, what's wrong with me, man? I mean, I got a big pile of gravel like that. And my body said, oh, God, don't do it. And I said, where's the shovel? I told Teresa, I said, I think I put too many gravel in there. She said, well, can you get to it with the tractor? I done played this scenario she's saying out. She said, can you get to it with the tractor? And I said, nah. She said, well, I guess you'll have to shovel it in the bucket. And I wanted to say, you reckon? I've already got that revelation, Jack. So I go down there, man, and I start that. And I say, you might as well shut up, buddy. Because me and the Lord, we fixing to work. I'm in His strength. And He adds His grace and His anointing to you. I'm not just telling you my story. That's why we live our life. We live our life by faith in the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 over there, He says, cast not therefore away your confidence, which has recompense of reward. It says, after that you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. After you've done it, that you might receive the promise. See, I waited on my house 10 years. I tried to buy properties and things between that 10 years, trying to help God out, you know. And then I got my wife. I'm telling you, the last time she said it, she said, I'm telling you, I'm moving out of here with or without God. It wasn't good, were we? So if you got bad neighbors, we know what you're talking about. But don't let your neighbors run your life. Don't let them eat you up. Don't sit there thinking about them and what they're doing and what they've done and blah, blah, blah. I mean, Satan eats Christians' lunches doing that. I got a neighbor, he had a cow come out there, a bull come out there, and I planted an apple tree. I really wanted apples. My dad had orchards. He was a farmer. And so I'm planting an orchard over the years, and I got it, you know. But I was patiently. I planted a couple of trees this year. Couple trees the next year, you know. Before you know it, I mean, I've got an orchard out there, just full-blown, you know, pretty good-sized quarter-acre orchard, I guess, and everything. Well, I had this bull, and that sucker go out, and after I planted my apple tree, he can go out there, he's after my apple tree. I don't, you know, And so I go out there and I run him off, you know. And then he gets and breaks the top out of it. When you break a top out of an apple tree, it's just not gonna produce the main stem. Boy, I'm mad. I am mad, you know. There that bull is out there, and I thought, bless God. I jumped in my truck and I took off across there in that truck, you know, and I opened the door up and got out, and he kind of turned towards me a little bit, big old bull, you know, and I thought, oh yeah. So I got back there at my truck, and I had some struts on there that goes under steel. They're about 8, 10 foot long. I was mad, and I went up there, and I went, whap! I got him across, and, you know, and then he's going to come and get me. And I thought, no, you ain't. So I threw it in the truck, got in, and I hit him with my truck. Bam! I said, run, baby. And he took off, went on home, you know, and I'm going to go on over. I'm going to see your daddy, your owner, you know. And I pull out on the road, you know, and the Lord said, where are you going? I said, well, God, that I planted that 2 years ago, man. I mean, you know, the bull, you know, the bull, he's always getting out and getting over here in my garden and stuff, you know, and tearing up everything, Lord. And I said, I'm going to go just tell him. He said, don't go. I thought, great, here's this Jesus thing again. I mean, that's the Holy Spirit. So I just go back, and I'm simmering, you know, and I'm just, and they go by and wave, and I'm like, I'm going to throw my hand up a little. I'm out there picking squash, and the Lord said, carry him some squash. And I said, he's so lazy, he won't plant a garden. I'm this hot out here. I'm not going to go do that, Lord. I mean, he already owes me. I wouldn't have took $1,000 for that apple tree. The Lord said, I thought you believed overcome and evil were good. I thought, yeah, but come on, man. See what I'm saying? Here I am in the middle of my trial. Here comes the word to us. Here comes the word to you. Forgive them. You know, but we got our reason. Hey, Lord, you understand. I give $60 for that apple tree 2 years ago. But you know what? See, it wasn't that God wanted me necessarily to bless my neighbor. See, my neighbor's stuff, he didn't do it. I even went and rebuilt some of his fence, man. I went in and I took care of the fence. I built the fence. And then when he was up on my property, I just took him off. I thought, here's a chance right here. Got some of my land doing good. But you know what? See, God, and then after I did that, I'm telling you, it's like a breakthrough come to me, and then they could drive by and I'd be, hey, man, hey, good to see you, man. I never said nothing to him about the cow. I never did. I never said nothing. But when I overcome, the bull never got out again. That bull never got out again. See, the Bible says, cast not therefore away your confidence. See, he was trying to steal my confidence in the Lord. We got to tie these things together like tic-tac-toe, man. When the enemy starts, come on, X, zero, X over here. You got to watch. He's going to link it up, and he's going to get you to lay down your faith and lay down your weapons, praise God. The Bible says in Luke 21:19, I believe it says, in your patience, endurance, I work it more at home than I do anywhere else. There it is. In your patience, possess your souls. That's your mind, will, and emotions. He said, in your endurance, in your steadfastness. See, the word patience means that you start into a trial, and you was in a right spirit, you know, and you don't change. You just enter into that trial. And you don't change. Patience is staying in a given state, whatever state you are in, without complaining, without grumbling, without griping. That's a hard one to learn. Now, I'm just telling you. I want to gripe about a lot of things all the time. I told Travis the other day, I said, I could start right now and I could gripe about everything. I could gripe about your mama. I could gripe about y'all. I could gripe about the church. I could gripe about, we told them. I could gripe because they're putting in a new station down here like a bunch of these Bluntsville folk are. Putting in a new station down there. Gonna put in, you know, open up a campsite down there where you can put RVs and stuff. Walked up there today and I told that dude, I said, what's this going to be? Because you don't ever know. I've heard everything. Bluntsville don't know, but they know. I said, what's this going to be? He said, oh, this is going to be a filling station. I believe they're going to have diesel fuel. I said, oh, man, praise God. I'm closer to here than I am on down yonder, you know. He says, and I said, well, I heard it's going to be an RV park. You know, he said, oh, we're gonna build the station, and then behind it, we're cleaning it off over there. I said, I am glad y'all are here. He raised up and looked at me, and he said, you're the first. I said, look, man, I said, it's a win-win situation. I said, I got people that need jobs around here. I said, this is going to open up jobs for people. I said, this is going to bring in money down here for Bluntsville. I mean, people are going to pay down here, and we're getting rid of poverty, see? Come on in. He's like, well, I said, the only reason people don't want that, they don't like more traffic. I said, but you know what? Why can't we learn to be friendly? Hallelujah. I'm not going to have a bad attitude over that. God brings prosperity into my life. He opens up opportunities for me to work and different things. When I believe, I told him, I said, I know what you're saying, though. I said, I thought I was going to have to get me a lawyer to get a garage door license. I've been a businessman down here in Bluntsville for 30 years. I said, and I thought I was going to have to get a lawyer to get licensed to be in Bluntsville. And some of you think I'm just going blah, blah, blah. No, I'm telling you something. I said, my dream was God. My dream was to have open a garage door business in Bluntsville. My dream was not just to make money. My dream was to give my son a job where he ain't got to drive out of state to make money later. He was only two. I said, my dream was to give people jobs. And my dream was to bring prosperity to Bluntsville. Pay taxes in Bluntsville. Paid the revenue off the garage doors in Bluntsville. I said, but you know what? I said, they couldn't stop my dream. And I hired people 5, 4, 5, 6 at a time, praise God. But my dream was not just about the money, but although it blessed. See, when you're believing God for increase, get ready, responsibility comes. And when you do increase, a lady told me one time, well, I'm believing God for a car. I said, can you afford a tag? I said, have you thought about the tag and the insurance every month and the gas that you're going to have to put in it and the tire? So then the next time I talked to the lady, she said, well, we all talked about it and a bunch of us going to go in together and buy it. That way we're all going to pitch in. I said, well, have you considered they might not want you to go on the day? They might want it when you want it. I said, one of them may not have the money to pitch in on the tags. What you going to do about that? I said, you better think about all this stuff. When you're making these decisions. I said, but if God is telling you, regardless what you think you can afford, if God is telling you, then you believe God, and then you wait on Him, and He will bring it to pass. So I want to encourage you, work on endurance. You're going to get a chance probably right after you leave here, especially if you rode with somebody. And if I had to drive behind Sandy, it's right after church. If she pulls out before I do. I mean, she ain't in a hurry. I'm like, ah, man, can't you go on a little bit? She does it every now and then. I'm thinking, man, she's running 33 miles an hour in a 45. And Robert's worse than that. I think y'all talking. So if I'm driving, I'm buzzing out of here. I'm like Matt. When the service is over, I'm out, gone. I get there before the action starts. So I want to encourage you, work on your endurance. I'm having to do it. Got more scheduled things scheduled and all of that, and I can't see time for none of it. So I got to lean on him. We got to lean on him. Lean on him. Believe for grace. And you know what you believe in for Christmas? Don't wait till Christmas Day. Start now. Bring you a seed to church and say, God, I thank you, Lord, that I'll have this. And I believe, God, that I'll have what I want for Christmas, what I need to get for somebody for Christmas. Believe him for Christmas. Use your faith ahead of time. Me and Teresa usually puts it on the refrigerator right after Christmas and all year long. We didn't do it for years, and then we were right there at Christmas. Ain't got it. So we start believing a year ahead of time now, praise God. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we just thank you tonight.